Welcome in, everybody. It is Inside the Gamecocks, the show portion of the Gamecocks Super Stream, as we are wanting to call it right now. I like that. I mean, we got to lean into the Super Stream, live stream.
It's like Super Freak, Super right. Stream, Super freak. Stream, and Super Streamy. Yeah.
Love it. JC, Sherbert, and Mad Dog Mullinax in with you here for the final hour of the show. Hey, we ran the crossover a little long for like the first time here, JC. We
only That's unfortunate.
I know.
No. It's not. It's Thirsty Thursday here.
It is a nice Thirsty
the show. You know, I was thinking, you know, we used to have like a scroll and a longer, a lot of people confused it for the intro and all that. I'm kind of happy without the longer stuff.
Same.
I'm kind of like thinking about just ditching it, because also for people that go back and rewatch it on YouTube, you don't have to sit through the purpose of a scroll, by the way, the intro to the intro, in case you're wondering if we're nuts and why we did that. And for those of you that have listened, the OGs, that this things like, remember the bagpipes that we used to play to open the show and the Scottish stuff and all that. It's to inform your YouTube audience that the show's about to start. It's like when you're at the movies, you know, you have they're not previews to the preview, but you're sitting there and there's orchestra music playing and there's these projections up and it's like,
you get like, you know, partner slideshows.
Yeah. Zelensky's auto parts. Yes. Yeah. So you get a Tommy boy. I make car parts for the American working man, because that's who I am and that's who I care about. There's no vote. It's just a picture of, you know, Davy Jones Locket Company or something. Locket Locker.
Davy Jones Locker. I saw one of those, like,
I don't know,
videos on Instagram the other day, and I should have tagged it because it would have been perfect for what we do. But with the great outdoors, like the Roman character that Aykroyd plays, yes, and then he turns into Zelensky in the auto
parts. He goes Callahan auto parts. It's pretty, you know, every time I go to like Texas Roadhouse, which I'm feeling Texas Roadhouse lately, because Outback, the quality's gone down.
It really has.
Outback guy.
Yeah, same.
And Longhorn's hit or miss. And there's not really a Longhorn near me, but Texas Roadhouse, there's a reason why it's always packed, right? It delivers. Okay. So when I go there and I'm thinking, I'd like the biggest steak possible. I remember the old 96er from the great outdoors. And I'm like, also, hot dogs. I now moved up here and you know, hot dogs kind of came back into my life, but I basically avoided them except every now and then based on what the raccoons told me.
Right.
And Roman in the great outdoors.
That's right.
Lips and bungholes.
Buttholes.
Shit. Yeah. So it's, you know, so that movie taught me a lot about eating healthier.
That is true.
I learned everything I know from the great outdoors, sir.
Yeah, I don't know if I would substitute lobster for hot dogs every time, but that might.
Yeah, I like a good hot dog, man.
It's not good for the old bank account.
That's lobster. Last couple times I've gotten lobster too, it's been disappointing. You get older, everything just disappoints you. That you used to be like, oh man, it's going to be a good night. We're going to eat steak and lobster. And you get there and the steak's just solid. And then the lobster, it's a $20 add-on.
Right.
More now. You know, lobster actually is not gone up that much like everything else. But butter has.
Yeah, right.
$2.50 surcharge for melted butter.
What?
I'm like, I'll put the dang Lando Lakes in my pocket and put it on top of this candle here.
No thing. I brought my own.
Tell you this right now. Make my own butter. I'll churn it right here. I'll churn.
Churn.
You're allowed churning. You have on site churning. Man. That's an upcharge too. Cancel my reservation.
Butter's one of those things that the more that I cooked like through my life, the more I was like, this is, you know, like I feel like I need to get good butter. Like it has to be 12%, you know, of your fat intake.
I looked at it and it's like healthier for you than like oil.
Yeah, right.
And I'm like, oh, but I actually used more butter than I used to. It's paid off. It's been a little healthier than the oil.
I spend more on it because now I'm like a butter snob because Land O'Lakes just isn't going to cut it anymore.
Butter snob.
I'm a butter snob.
I used to have a crush on the Land O'Lakes lady.
She's pretty hot, man. Yeah.
I like her. All right, so the McKellar Enterprise chat box is all rocking and rolling today. We thank everybody that's in there that's a Club Chief member. Bruin has an excellent point. Gamecock fans aren't going to know how to act watching a fast offense. We used to be able to go take a pee, grab a drink, and be back in the seat before the next play. Yeah. I feel like a couple of things. I feel like you're absolutely right. I also think that they're going to be smart enough to know, and Kendall Browse is also good at this, when to maybe, hey, look, it's maybe time to run, you know, run some clock, protect the lead, that kind of thing.
Yep, right.
I don't know that they'll go super duper fast. In those situations, but I do think they're going to go fast most of the time. And the advantage to that obviously is going fast and not letting the other team substitute, because apparently other teams have figured out that you start subbing on defense and it kind of throws Lenora Sellers off. Remember the Illinois game?
That's the one thing about it that I was like, well, it'll be a lot easier to get snap counts in on offense this season because they're not going to be subbing like they have been, you know.
Yeah, and you know, but you know, we also talk about the receivers being eight deep or whatever. So I can see a situation where three or four of them play one series and three or four play the next and all that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And of course, there's certain situations where both sides. I mean, you can't just not let them sub over and over again, right?
Right. No.
You know, there's certain times where dead balls or whatever. So we'll see. But that's such an advantage, and it kind of limits. And I was talking to somebody the other day about this, and it as good as the D coordinators are in this league, and I'll throw Tom Allen from Clemson in there too. I think he had a good game plan against Carolina last year, really good. Mm-hmm. You know, so the nine power fours or whatever, I don't know, or the 10. Towson's coach may be better than all of them, and so could Kent's, but you're just not going to be able to tell. But as good as the D coordinators are in this league, it takes kind of the advantage that they would have when they're dissecting you and mm-hmm. trying to get you stopped. It takes a lot out of their brain, you know, out of their brain. Like, for example, Brent Venables, right? One of the best ever at wait and call. And actually, Brent could actually do it a lot better than a lot of coaches can against tempo offenses. But, you know, it was like last year against Carolina, he just owned the whole thing.
Right.
Oklahoma, Carolina, he owned it. I mean, he just knew what, you know, they knew it was. They dialed up the right pressures. He dropped in coverage sometimes when he shouldn't, that kind of thing. But when you're going that fast and you can't really tell what's going on, and you got to worry about this freakazoid quarterback running or throwing, right. And you got to worry about, you know, if DJ Black is one of the, let's say the lineup is Black and Jaden and Harbor. Well, in theory, you got DJ Black's a 4-3 guy on one side that's bigger, and then you got Harbor on the other, and you got Jaden Sellers, who's very consistent, or whoever. You know, plus you got this guy that's a quarterback that if you miss him twice and he accelerates, he's gone. And he's 240 pounds. And the receiver out there is 240 as well. You know, don't forget that their backs are pretty capable, mm-hmm. you know. And they're going to do some things with the tight end as well. I would think that it would be a lot harder to stop something like that because it becomes much more about Phil personnel. Like, how do we get these guys stopped? Whereas it's like, well, we can get these guys stopped because nobody else, we can focus on these two things and get it stopped. and do it in a creative, aggressive, and fun manner.
Right.
Pre-snap. But, you know, slowing them down when they're trying to go fast, I think would be a challenge. Mm-hmm. Given what Lenoris can do with his feet, given the speed Carolina's going to have at receiver, you know, given what appears to be a backfield or a group of running backs that are going to be pretty good. I think they're all pretty fast. They all can run.
Yeah. I mean, you know, but I mean, it's like, okay, you got your attention on Nick Harbor. It's like, all right, we're not going to let the potential Olympian at one point beat us down the field. Right. So we're going to bracket that off. And the next thing you know, the other side of that guy's running the deep route at 4.3 with DJ Black. And, you know, all he's got to do now is beat your corner and it's done.
And you start bracketing and things like that, like bracketing spy. If you spy a tempo on a tempo offense, unless you just say, we're going to play 10 on 11 we're going to play, you know, 10 on 10 all day. And one guy's just going to have him. And then that kind of makes it a little bit easier for the offense because there's going to be space open. And that's the other thing about Kendall Briles is get guys in space, get fast. Cause that you start getting guys. I mean, I guess the Nick Harbor catch and run at A&M was on one of the highlight Instagram accounts yesterday. And I watched it about three times because I sat there and watched it. And then it restarted and you gave him some space and he found the space and then he accelerated and you can't catch him.
Nope.
You just can't.
No, because he caught that ball, if I remember correctly, without reviewing it with what, you know, essentially two defenders around him within say 2 yards
space.
Got that good buffer and that
looked like a zone coverage
is enough, yeah. Right, yeah.
You find the space and you go, and when you're trying to tire a defense out and they got to get lined up and they're having to do things, process things so quickly, it's just like running the pro style offense or the NFL offense. Your process timing, you have to process things mentally much quicker. Now, that said, can it be stopped? Absolutely, it can be stopped.
Yeah.
I mean, Tennessee hasn't scored 50 points a game on everybody. They've had some games in the teens, similar style. You know, Arkansas had some low score games when Kendall was there. It's not like they're going to go, but I think that you give yourself a chance to get enough points when you're not like giving away. And it's kind of funny because as paranoid as coaches are these days, Beamer included, just based on information that you know about scheme and stuff, they don't talk about it, you know. As paranoid as coaches are, it amazes me. Coaches want to go so slow and be deliberate and do all these different things that they end up, you know, they may not, the defensive coaches on the other side may not figure it out right away in 3 seconds, but if you give them 20, they may.
Right. Right.
And so the substituting last year, you know, the subbing over time has gotten them a bit old. And I don't think Carolina's never going to substitute. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah, no.
But it's going to be limited. I mean, you ain't going to see what he did last year. You know, and the beauty of it too, I think sometimes is with Briles offense, is you can use the same personnel and have different formations and things like that.
Right. Yeah.
And they're gonna probably use some motion and things like that too, which is not it. You can't go as fast when you do that. But I'm curious to see. I'm curious to watch it and see what it evolves at, because you can also, the other thing about Kendall Briles, you can go back through his career and things look different at different stops. Mm-hmm. And somebody actually mentioned to me the other day, is that being a negative? Well, he didn't really have a system. It's, you know, he just does different things. And I'm like, well, what did he say? What was the MO on Kendall Briles? He adapts it to his personnel.
That's right. Yeah. It's custom essentially for who is there. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think it looks, I don't think it is different. I think it looks different. And Steve Spurrier was like that. Steve Spurrier probably had 21 plays total. Right. In his passing playbook, you know, run games different, but And what Beamer said the other day about what he liked about it, he said, we don't run that much stuff. Mm-hmm. But we run it. I mean, we have stuff, but he's like, we run it over and over, and he perfects it, which I think this team, this program desperately needs.
Yeah.
Too many mental errors, especially with the blocking up front on offense the last however many years.
Yeah.
Simplify it. If all these guys are good football players and great athletes, use that to your advantage. Shoot, go play. Just go play.
I know. Well, that was one of the comments that I was really happy to hear, like Lenoris talk about when he was asked about the O-line and blocking and the run game. And he's just like, how did he put it? It was just like, we keep running it, and there's a lot less to think about, which is what we were all saying. It was like, these guys just look like they're sitting there having to think too damn much. And
it's amazing.
Just a lot less to think about.
it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. McKellar Enterprises chat box rolls on a Thirsty Thursday on the show. So how many weeks do we have till practice starts? What, August 5th?
They report on the 6th, and I think practice is the 7th.
So two weeks.
2 weeks. From, yeah.
I hate these 2 weeks.
It's almost as bad as the two weeks leading into July.
Oh, 4th. by the way, this portion of the show will not be here next Thursday.
Thursday. Okay. Good. Yeah.
Thursday. Yeah. Guns N' Roses and Public Enemy on Wednesday night, and my wife and I are getting a hotel where near the concert venue. Won't be back. Yeah. But yeah, GNR, baby. First time since 10 years I've seen him.
Yeah, last time was what, Vegas?
No. Last time was in Atlanta after they had gotten back together. Mm-hmm. I did see them in Vegas with my friend Ryan, but it was Axel and like his.
Right, yeah.
And that's when Andrew Dice Clay opened for him, and Nicolas Cage introduced him. A friend of mine knows Axl Rose and had gotten, we were on the front row of the stage. And Nick Cage comes out there. Guns N' Roses, brother. Yeah. So, anyway, it was an awesome show, dude. I mean, it was.
Heck yeah, man.
I mean, Axl didn't hire. I mean, Buckethead was playing, and DJ Ashba was the guitarist. Still had Dizzy Reed on the keyboards, but Duff and Slash are back in the band, and they're really good. So anyway, that's what I'm doing next week. But yeah, 2 weeks for practice to get started. McKellar Enterprises chat box, like I mentioned earlier, I had to circle back because I wanted to mention the GNR thing. Christian Clark Harrison says would be his pick for guy nobody's talking about. Still project Fuller to get majority of snaps and be the starter, but I think Clark's an important player on this offense as the projected second back. I hear really good things about him too. And so here's a little crack in the Matt Fuller hype armor. Like two different folks that know, right? And other folk, every other person that knows is more along the lines of Matt Fuller is going to destroy the SEC. It's been kind of like this. Matt had a really good spring. He's a really good back, but boy, Christian Clark's a man, really good. Blah blah blah.
Right.
There's two people that would know. So Christian Clark apparently had a pretty good deal in the spring as well. And you know, man, he's just getting healthy. I didn't realize he had torn his Achilles freshman year at Texas.
Wow.
And that's tough. I mean, for a back, and then. Last year, no carries. Then he starts that Citrus Bowl and looks good. So maybe he'll be like Xavier Leggett. You know, Xavier had that big Gator Bowl and came back the next year, caught 71 balls for the Gamecocks. You know, sometimes you end up on a good note. You come back and it's good. Chaco says if Judge Collier is healthy, I believe he'll have a great season. I hope so too, Chaco. I mean, they have to. So I think they're going to roll with DeMarcus Leach and the freshman as backup corners, and I think they'll be fine. But you don't want to depend on that.
No.
And I think the thing I respect the most about Judge, besides the fact he wants to be in broadcast journalism and, you know, do what me and Phil are doing now, is he understands he was not at his best last year because of his knee. And then when he got back, he didn't play as well. And so there's this intense refocus because heading into last year before the Virginia Tech game, mm-hmm. people are talking about Judge Collier being all world.
God, like, my expectation was he was going to be the next one, right?
NFL,
yeah, right. And hated to see that get derailed by injury and one, you know, like when he went down, that was probably the most nervous I felt that whole game. Like, this is not good.
Yeah. Cause it's, you know, and
I did start to feel a little better about DeMarcus Leach after reading your piece on the Big Spur. I was like, all right, I'm not completely poo poo his play.
Leach got out there in that game against Virginia, mm-hmm. first game as a true freshman and gave him snaps. He was better than Miles Norwood when Norwood played. Poor Miles Norwood, man.
Yeah.
Something was just off.
Just wasn't.
And it wasn't that way in practice or the spring either. They thought mm-hmm. he was going to be third corner pretty good. But just, I think sometimes corners, they say you have to have a short memory. I think those that end up getting torched over and over have longer memories and can't shake it for some reason.
Well, if you have a short memory and it keeps happening to you, then you can never really forget it, can you?
No.
Scott has the ability to move outside if needed.
Yeah, if needed. You know, I think what they're going to do is Leach in the freshman, Barnes, mm-hmm. Kazee Barnes. A lot of different people, you know, have said, players and coaches included, the three freshman DBs that were there and the pretty much really good.
Good.
So who knows? Look, I always say it's easy just to say trust Torrey and Gray because you know we get burned around here sometimes by just doing that by not looking at players and just looking at coaches and saying they'll fix it. Although Torrey normally just keeps producing. But the 2018 defense, which even before everybody got hurt, was not as good, right?
Right.
Carolina Muschamp fixed the offense, but then but the whole narrative, even though they had lost a lot of good players, especially up front, and then Wonnum got hurt, the whole narrative also was, Muschamp knows defense. Because till that point, the 16 and 17 defenses compared to like the 15 and 14 defenses, mm-hmm. night and day better, you know.
Right.
So it's easy. It's kind of like we used to do with Spurrier. Oh, the offense will be fine.
That'll be all right. Yeah, that's right. That'll be all right.
He's a genius. but you know, we got burnt with that one a little bit because that defense by the end of the year was,
rough.
Gutted and terrible. Yeah. It's like a fish skin on a dock. Like a brim. Yeah,
that's right.
It's gutted and terrible.
Baking in the direct late July sun.
This brim with no insides reminds me of the 2018 Gamecock defense. It's gutted and terrible.
Gutted and terrible.
Hey, don't forget to go see Nick Harbor. Speaking of really good people and weapons on this offense, Gamecock Traditions this weekend. You can get your tickets, I believe. Follow their social media account at GamecockTraditions.com. Everybody's always talking about the Big Spur and Four Quarter Friday. Just go check out those websites. We think that they'll be outstanding for you. Bruin, you need to get on the Four Quarter Friday message board and stir something up.
Yeah, start.
Or help us get some of your friends and stir something up. You know, message boards, when you start them, are a little lean. They're like, oh, hello? Hello?
Is anybody here?
Hello? Help! Where am I?
It's like the back rooms.
Yeah. It'll get there. It'll fill up eventually. FourQuarterFriday.com. Were they serious about Donovan McNabb coming on tomorrow?
Yeah, so Ramon Robinson is coming on, to talk.
I know Ramon.
Yeah. But apparently, the way it was put is, sitting next to him will be Donovan McNabb. So whether or not, you know.
All right, we'll see. I don't want to
lose where McNabb speaks.
Hell, it's not my show.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, whatever.
So you may get to see Donovan McNabb if you tune in to Four Quarter Friday tomorrow on the Chiefs Sports Network, also FourQuarterFriday.com. We will be back with the second segment of the show as the Super Stream rolls on.
Welcome back, everybody, inside the Gamecocks of the show. Final segment of the show here on a Thirsty Thursday edition, diving headlong into the... Nana's. Nope. Too. God, I've been doing so good about that. McKellar Enterprises. You know, who knows? It's like a slot machine up here sometimes.
No, of course, does good food.
Yeah, that's right. It does have good food. And the pimento cheese still is outstanding.
It is. You got to give credit where credit's due.
That's right. That's right. But open to club chief members Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, of course, exclusively. So if you're on watching us on YouTube, and a lot of you do, and still have yet to click subscribe, please do so. Like the video, hit subscribe. And if you want to chat all week long, then hey, sign up for Club Chief. We'll welcome you in with open arms.
Absolutely. And that's on YouTube. It's all through YouTube
with that.
All right. Here we go back. Judge Collier, we talked about that. T.D. Noel, who really good top high school guy that keeps up with. When I saw the video of Tristan Lewis truck the defensive back, he ran over into the air, running the ball into the end zone last year, and he had the potential to be special. He's extremely physical. And sometimes you'll get a quarterback that changes position that just isn't. Sometimes, though, like DQ Smith, if anything, was very physical. Corey Jenkins, when they moved Corey, I mean, he went to the NFL as a defensive player. Very physical guy. So that's kind of that in his size. He's 6'2", 207. I mean, listed good. Frederick says Marquis Anderson. Blake says Carter Miller. Bryn says, I just want the offensive line to be average for once.
Average would be a massive improvement over what happened.
Chaco says, no offsides by the center, please. Yeah. So, Krager called soccer communist kickball. I've heard that. That's funny. X-Man says Texas Roadhouse is the Chick-fil-A of the steakhouse world. It is, and it's kind of managed well, too, if you ever read up on what they do.
Yeah, still privately owned, even with all those locations.
Yeah.
I was reading that the other day. I was like, oh, that's awesome.
And they give management a little piece of it, ownership stuff,
too. Nice.
So, Great Outdoors is such an underrated movie. Game Cut 3-4-6 says, yeah, Agreed. Absolutely. So, Chaco says, AJC, should we be concerned if Darius Gray snags a starting role over the portal guys, or is he just that good? Krager says he's that good. Yeah, I think it will just be he's that good. He's behind, though. I don't know that they'll go that way right now. It also could be one of these things, right? So, Darius Gray, kind of like... And I'm sorry, forgive me, for this is the only example that pops into my noggin right now. All right, so remember the 2018 Clemson Tigers? Okay, so you had Kelly Bryant starting, and then you had this really good freshman in Trevor Lawrence. And I think Clemson beat Georgia Tech 73-7 or something. Maybe Trevor started that one. I don't know. Or Kelly started it. Anyway, it was the four-game rule, you know, where you can still redshirt. And they just benched. They said, all right, we're going with Trevor now. Sorry.
Okay. You're
nothing that Kelly Bryant did wrong, you know. I mean, he was playing a good year. So a situation like that could happen. But I think Darius will be, you know, a lot, too, depends on this. Like, okay, so – Are there going to be more injuries? Will there be another injury? I mean, you don't normally, you know, even last year, you know, you had Surratt,
yeah,
who was fine and good to go and was going to start, and then he got a concussion 2 weeks out and was not cleared. So, you know, that's why I think Beamer and everybody keeps talking about depth,
right,
on the O-line, because you just – If you have a significant drop off from, you know, significant, I mean, there's always going to be a drop off significant, you know, you could be in some trouble quickly, especially at that spot. Krager said the most athletic player, Darius Gray, he's watched him play hoops. Yeah. He's really good. Cam says his basketball tape's insane. Yeah. I mean, that guy really, really good. And really, really good. Lance, Latte Lance, entered the chat 25 minutes ago, just now saying, hey, sorry, Lance. Cam says, watching Darius move on the basketball court reminds me of when I got to see Robert Quinn wrestle in high school. Big guys that are super twitchy. Yeah, Robert Quinn. Now, there's one of those guys, because Quantrell asked earlier about Byron Coward.
Yeah.
Robert Quinn was one of those guys where you just, was he an end? Was he a backer? What was he? He was just good.
He's just good. What is he? He's just a really good football player.
Just good. And I saw, you know, he was it him and Dunlap were in the same class, or maybe Quinn was younger than Dunlap. And so I go to watch Dunlap play because he's a five-star kickoff return guy. For one of the, that's one of the most freaky no-brainer dudes I've ever seen either. Raw. Wasn't as polished as Clowney, but had freaky skills. And so, and did he come to Carolina and Brad Lawing developed him? Carlos Dunlap would have been unbelievable. But he went to Florida. So, but I'm watching Fort Dorchester play, I believe, Battery Creek. I think I was in Buford. And Robert Quinn is making every tackle on the field,
right,
just all over the place. And so, yeah, so sometimes guys are like that. And Quantrell also asked, and I'll address this real quick, what's the difference between Reuben Bain out of high school and Byron Cowart out of high school?
Arm length.
Well, it was 70 spots in the rankings, arm length, obviously. But Cowart was a Tampa, an Armwood guy from Tampa. Mm-hmm. High bust rate school. I didn't worry about Bain busting because it's Miami Central, or I think, yeah, Miami Central. Those guys don't bust. They doesn't matter. And Bain was projected as a 6'2" and a half, 250 pound linebacker. Oh, I also say this about Bain. Bain did have an inch and a half on Byron. Byron was not that much taller than me, and I'm right at 6 foot.
Mm-hmm.
So was Carl Fuller. I mean, they both were Norwood looking dudes. And Eric was a great player. Just a lot of natural things he does. But to be good when you're kind of a tweener like that, that's what you have to be. Eric Norwood or Ruben. Yeah,
you have to make up with it for instinct and IQ.
I don't know that I've seen that out of Jaden Bryan. I just don't. And I'm not I'm going to stop talking about him because it sounds like I'm trashing him. I'm not questioning his ability to play at the highest level of college football as a prospect. Don't get me wrong. I think he could, if he develops, he'll be a top 10 pick. He's, you know, like if he were going to Georgia, I would say, and there was no transfer portal, I would be like, yeah, Kirby and those guys are going to, he'll be one of those dudes that you're like, good God.
Yeah.
How did he leave the state?
Well, how did we let that get away?
Miami and the money and all that. Chris, and by the way, the thing, JB did text me that figure. I'm going to keep it to myself. But
yeah, but that was,
if you paid that much for Jaden Bryant, you know, whoever's money you're spending should sue you.
Well, money isn't real down there anyway. So,
I mean, or anybody in this class. I mean, anybody, dude. I mean, you know who I'd pay if I were at Miami? Everybody within a 30-mile radius of my campus, because you know why? Those dudes are ballers. You know, it doesn't matter if they're millionaires. They want to play football.
Right.
Why is talent in Miami so good? Why are so many players coming out there? Because they love football. That's important. Anyway.
Crazy.
Not that players from Irmo don't, or South Carolina don't. South Carolina's a ballers too, but
player from Irmo was on a Super Bowl winning football team yesterday last year.
Look, dude. Yeah. And I'm not, there's example A.
Yeah. A.
And I'm not even like, it's not even about Jaden Bryant. It's about Miami and what they do. I mean, and you hear it over and over. And you hear it's because of, I mean, I don't really, you know, I think the U, with what they all were, that's one of my favorite college football stories ever. You know, because it was local kids.
Yeah,
it was. They played in the Orange Bowl. You know, they did all that. You know, it was a okay. This is where college football can exist here at a high level, because it can exist anywhere else. Tropical paradise, whatever. And those guys were a bunch of outlaws, and it was beautiful. And you know what? Every one of them mostly was from right there in Dade, Broward, Palm Beach. It was about what college football is about, playing for your home. And it was sad when that program kind of took a nosedive, or and then joined the ACC, and the mediocrity was contagious, and they just sunk, you know.
So is Jimmy Johnson the first real example of somebody to tailor the culture to the school?
Howard Schnellenberg.
Howard Schnellenberg.
Well, it's all in recruiting too, and using it to your advantage. But hey, you want to talk about this whole pro style offense rampage I've been on? And I'm just going to say pro style offense. That definition is very broad now. NFL style offense. So Miami, because they're Miami, you know, they just kept it for 20 years. Never adapted. All that speed, all that talent. Right there, you could have run spread and won, kept winning, kept on winning. Didn't do it. So there's another example of that. But okay, so the U now, and what Cristobal does is just go spin, try to outspin because he's trying to prove a point. And I just don't, you know, still the core of that team, while they were good last year, the core of that team, either local guys or from the portal, or guys from the portal. And I just don't, it's just kind of crazy. But anyway, hey, we wish everybody the best here. Yeah, wish you the best. Blake said injuries were going on. Cam says he thinks Darius Gray will be the starting center down the road. Craig said, JC, you don't like your linemen turned around facing running backs with their hands in the air. No, I don't.
No. Prefer that not to be the case.
Prefer they hit somebody. Matt says Guns N' Roses has to come out with Welcome to the Jungle, right? Yeah, they've been doing that now for 40 years. It's So Easy was always the opening number. Even when I saw them in Vegas and Atlanta, it's always – that's track two on Appetite for Destruction. I can't play it on the show because when it gets to the second verse, it's actually not really appropriate for the show at all.
Right.
It's like the whole lyrics really aren't. It's about people's sisters and stuff. See your sister. Anyway, but they always open up. But like this latest tour, it's a world tour. They just got back stateside. They've been opening with the Jungle. Fish played their 92nd show at Madison Square Garden last night, Craig said. Yeah, a buddy of mine went to see Fish up in Wisconsin this summer. He'd never seen him before, thought it was fantastic. So Cam said Dabo's catching hell with his comment about not wanting to take quarterbacks from the portal, as he referred to them as shiny objects. Last four quarterbacks to play in the Natty were, in fact, transfers. Yeah. You know, quarterback transfers have been hitting for a long time, though, even before the portal.
Right. Yeah.
Going back to Joe Burrow. So let's count thy ways. Okay. So we'll go back to Deshaun Watson. So Dabo's guy got 16. 17 was Tua, a true freshman. So he was homegrown. 18 was Trevor. Man, true freshman quarterbacks won Natty's 2 years in a row. I wonder if that planted the seed for the moronic Jaden Rashada and Nico deals. Well, you These know guys that, can make man, a difference here.
Yeah, look at them.
Go back and look at the recruiting rankings. Like, so for every year there's a Tua, or you know, then there's 3 years of suck where the 15th ranked quarterback balls and the other 12 are back career backups. So 19 transfer Joe Burrow. 2020 was Bryce Young at Bama. 2021 and 2022 were Stetson Bennett, former walk-on. 2023, J.J. McCarthy was homegrown. 2024, though, was – I don't remember his name.
I don't
know. He came from Kansas State.
Yeah.
Never heard of him.
Jeez.
K-State, dude.
Yeah.
And then, of course – 2025 was Mendoza. So we've really only had three transfers. But outside of that, you know, Oklahoma made a living with Jalen Hurts and Kyler Murray. And, you know, there's been some. And then I guess in, Yeah. So Riley Leonard was Notre Dame's quarterback, played for the Natty. And then in 25, you know, you had Carson Beck. Where did Carson Beck get drafted? Was he in the first? He wasn't in the first round, was he?
No, he was not in the first round, but he did get drafted. Let's see. I think it was out west somewhere. I'm probably wrong about it. Yeah, no, Arizona. Yeah.
So
third round.
Third round. Not bad in a terrible draft class.
Nah.
But I thought it was more likely he'd never played pro football. Some people thought he was going to be the number one overall pick. So, Big Rooster says dual threat high school quarterbacks make really good corners. Yeah, a lot of them do. Mm-hmm. And a lot of really good corners that know they're going to play corner are dual threat high school quarterbacks.
Right.
Stephon Gilmore. Eric Berry was a safety, which threw me off. He could have played corner, but he was a high school quarterback. You know, that a lot of times, you know, a lot of times coaches will look for that because high school corners don't necessarily get the, you know, not everybody runs passes in high school, especially in this, like a state like Georgia, you know, where you're not as pass happy as maybe a Texas. And so they don't get any action, you know. And so their coaches use them on offense. And sometimes that's a red flag if a guy's not really good on offense. So.
Do you think that logic applies to in-state prospect Franklin Richardson Sumpter?
No.
Or is he like a natural quarterback?
Just I think he's a natural running back.
Athletic.
Oh, I think he's a natural running back. I think he's a running back. I think at the next level he is a all the way running back. If not, maybe a linebacker. Because he's got explosive, thick lower body. I mean, I love him. I think if I'm Carolina,
yeah, no doubt.
I'm gonna try for Trey Cigar because he's Trey Cigar. But then if I'm not getting him, I'm like Franklin. Come on, I'm getting Franklin. I'm getting that guy. Mm. There's another kid I saw today from Chester that's a kind of a small, like a 5'11", 185. I don't know if he's Carolina level or not. Coastal and North Greenville have offered him. Guy Caleb Feaster. Mm. He's got some mojo about him, and he's also a defensive player, pretty good football player. You know, so if you're recruiting South Carolina and you need players, go by Chester. Check out the Cyclones. Bryce says, who's going to be the breakout candidate? I'm intrigued by DJ Black and Tuggle. Breakout candidate depends on kind of what your opinion was on Seller. I mean, really, everybody should be a breakout candidate because everybody's production needs to go up. DJ Black will be the guy that kind of comes out of nowhere. It's easier to talk about Nitro Tuggle than DJ Black because Nitro Tuggle was played at Georgia, top 100 guys. Name's Nitro Tuggle. I'm bullish on Nitro Tuggle. I'm bullish on Donovan Murph. I don't know. Like a guy that, like a Jordan Gidron's got a good skill set. You know, Jaden Gibson, is he going to make it back healthy? There's just a lot of, you know. I'll tell you this. If Jackson Rep gets in the game and catches a pass and takes off down the field, nobody's going to catch him. I mean, it's just how it is. Tri-State says, what's up, guys? A little question. Would you say different skill sets, assuming from what I've read that Cutter is more mobile, of course? Who are you comparing Cutter Woods to, Tri-State? That message did not come in. Yeah, Blake said, play it so easy anyway, JC. We've heard 30-minute conversations on Greenville County strip clubs before. Yeah, but that doesn't include F-bombs. And,
yeah, that's right. Yeah, we can keep the language a little cleaner there. And, you know.
Insulting someone's sister. Lance said, all I want just the one time for our Gamecocks to ascend to the top to rub it in the face of all the people that said we couldn't.
Ugh, yeah, I know.
If there's a year to make a move, you know, right now, I think –
the like time is now.
In this little period where the Sellers era, I guess, the mid-Beamer. I hope it's not the mid-Beamer era. I hope we're still in the early Beamer era. Oh,
that's right. Yeah, let's hope it's still.
But if you look at like the longest tenure coach in the modern era, Steve Spurrier, he went into his 11th year. That's the longest anybody's lasted. So if you're just thinking in terms of, you know, best case scenario historically, we're at the midway point. I hope we're not, but whatever era we're in, this is the best it's set up. Last year was not set up as well as this.
No.
From besides the obvious Chula Browse thing, just from a player standpoint, it wasn't. I mean, last year's team wasn't really six deep, D tackle. They were trying to get to rotate six. Couldn't do it. You know, last year, the linebackers, Will Howard, by the way. Thanks, yeah. Harrison.
Yeah.
the Ohio State quarterback. I was probably a little too optimistic about the linebackers and thought they would get better and better as the year went on. And really, Sean Murphy's the one that got better and better as the year went on, which was good. So you're right about that, but I can't say they were great. You know, I think that last year's team had the players to be a bowl team.
To be better, right.
Yeah, but with the way everybody cycled up on the schedule at the same time, which rarely happens, you know. But if there's a time to do it, Lance, it's now. I mean, you'll never see me in this era concede 2 years. Oh, they're going to suck in 2027. But if you look way down the road, you can see, well, you know, logic dictates they're going to lose some guys. They'll fill some guys. And then the schedule flips. And the unfortunate part about that is, you know, I don't know that Kentucky's going to – well, Kentucky's still on the schedule regardless, Kentucky, Florida, and Georgia. But Arkansas flips off. And so the next time you see Arkansas, they're going to be in year three under Silverfield or year one under somebody new. you know, you give Vandy a chance to for Curtis or whoever to get their feet wet, you know. Now the question is, Texas is loaded up with a lot of players this year to try to make a run. Will Texas be good again? You know, I don't know. Auburn will be in year two of Alex Golish. Got a lot of guys from South Florida he brought with him trying to win now. Who knows what will happen then? I'm trying to think. LSU, Lane Kiffin, year two will be back on the schedule. Ole Miss, Pete Golding, year two, full year, will be back on the schedule. Oklahoma will be off the schedule. A&M will be off the schedule. You got to play Missouri again.
But then.
Chalk that up as a hope we win, but, you know.
Yeah. Well, at least Vandy comes back too, right?
Yeah, but Vandy's got that five-star quarterback that they're going to have a year to adapt.
May have more experience with the kill zone, right?
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. I think that game's in Nashville. So, you know, regardless, you know, I'm not conceding 2027. I just think that with how this is set up, with the mix of older players, talented young guys, a veteran quarterback, a competent to good offensive coordinator that could be great. We don't know what Kendall Briles could be with a quarterback like Sellers. He's not had anybody like that. And people could sit there and yap and go, "What's the difference between Sellers and Franks and KJ Jefferson?" A lot.
Yeah,
a lot. Okay. So, man, I don't know, man. I just think if there is a year right around this time period to get it done, it's this. No pressure. Or to get something done, you know. You college football, you take baby steps and you kick in the door. That's how it goes. So. All right. One more take from our guy Harrison, since he's part of us at the Big Spur.
Yeah.
He said, "I think it will show this year that last year the linebackers were a year away. I think linebackers can be a strength of the defense this season." Shane Beamer described the off seasons of Fred Johnson, Justin Okoronkwo, and Sean Murphy as elite. He's like, not just good, elite. So he went out of his way to say that. I don't know too many teams that have guys that have those types of guys that big that can run.
Right. Yeah, they're pretty fast. I mean, they were impressively fast last season.
Yeah. Yeah. At linebacker, though, if you're out of position, it doesn't.
That's what it, yeah.
Helps you recover. All right. So
Don't forget. Interesting to think that potentially the middle of this defense could be the strength of it, and yet you have Dylan Stewart out there on the edge. You got Vicari Swain and Collier, who could play themselves into the draft on the edge. Yeah,
I think Caleb Herring, Julian Walker. See, it's just a nice blend of players.
I mean, it really is. Yeah,
no pressure or anything on it. Like I said,
so this is the most complete roster Beamer's had.
I think so.
Safe to say, yeah, I think so.
Too. I think so. I mean,
as we sit here on July 23rd.
Yeah, It would have helped to have had a spring game for me to tell you definitively, like, what exactly talent-wise or just what exactly they had on the O-line, because there's so much new. But outside of that,
playoffs, there will never be another spring game here at Carolina ever again.
All right, yeah. Forget it. I'm just going to replay the playoff game.
And if they do have them, nobody should show up.
No cameras.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, just closed.
All right. For the Mad Dog, Phil Mullinax, is J.C. Sherber. This has been Inside the Gamecocks Show. And this completes our super stream for today on ITG. Be sure to check us all out on thebigspur.com, GamecockSocial.com. You can interact with us all day. You don't have to let us go. You're never going to let us go. You're going to hold us in your arms forever. You're going to try to make it for the time. You heard us. So, all right. See you guys tomorrow. We're out.